M. Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. Vice President Harris is now in Nashville on a short visit to meet those former Democratic members of the Tennessee State Legislature expelled yesterday by Republicans in the State House for taking part in a noisy gun safety protest on the floor following the mass shootings nearby at a religious school. Tennessee Senate Minority Leader Ramesh Akbari.
This is not our house. This is the people's house. We are elected by the people to do the people's will. And when you stop people who have been elected by the people from doing their will, that is when democracy dies.
Also underway now in Nashville, a support rally at Fisk University.
Monumental occasion that this is to once again ignite justice, democracy.
Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas responds to an online news report getting a lot of attention about luxury trips and other gifts from a wealthy Republican donor.
ProPublica reported Thomas and his wife Virginia Thomas had been going on trips for more than 20 years, paid for by Dallas businessman Harlan Crow. But in a statement, Thomas said he had been told soon after he was confirmed to the High Court that such trips did not need to be disclosed. He said he would abide by recent rules changes that required many such trips to be reported. Democrats have responded angrily to the report, with some demanding that Thomas, the court's senior justice, resign. Many Republicans said Thomas had a right to take trips with friends. Christopher Cruz, CBS News, Washington.
The economy is still creating jobs, nearly a quarter million of them last month.
The participation rate is starting to drift up. We are at 62.6% of people who either have jobs or are actively looking for jobs. That matches where we were in participation on the eve of the pandemic in March of 2020. In February of 2020, the participation rate was at 63.3%.
CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger. Well, something that should not have been on social media apparently was.
The Pentagon has launched an investigation to find out who leaked classified documents to social media. The documents showed secret American and NATO plans for building up the Ukrainian military ahead of a planned offensive against Russian forces this spring. The charts showed anticipated weapons deliveries, troop and battalion strengths, and other plans.
CBS's Nicole D'Antonio. Pope Francis decided to skip a traditional Good Friday event at the Colosseum.
The Holy See issued a statement Friday afternoon that the Pope would not participate in the traditional Good Friday event because of the cold temperatures in recent days. Less than a week ago, Pope Francis was released from Rome's Gemelli Hospital, where he was treated for bronchitis.
That's CBS's Sabina Castelfranco, and this is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin Republicans say the party should not change its position on abortion despite losing two of the most significant elections in the past two decades largely on that issue. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting that instead, party leaders cite ineffective campaigning and messaging and Dan Kelly's massive loss to now Supreme Court Justice-elect Janet Protasiewicz. The race flipped control of the court to liberals for the first time in 15 years. Representative Glenn Grothman says the fact that voters passed referenda, increasing requirements for cash bail and backing work requirements in order to receive public assistance is a sign that, quote, the public is overwhelmingly with Republicans, unquote. Nearly $140 million in federal dollars is coming to Wisconsin to upgrade drinking water infrastructure across the state, the money part of the bipartisan infrastructure law signed by President Biden in 2021. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Walks, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at WAUK. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Pallet at 1400 Park Avenue South in Minneapolis.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, couldn't cut anything.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, I'm here with Zoe Allen and Hope Flanagan. Hope Flanagan is a community outreach and cultural teacher at Dream of Wild Health, and we always are excited to have Hope, and I'm always excited just to talk to Hope, Zoe. Thanks for getting Hope. She's a live wire. She's always busy storytelling out in the community. So this has been something I've been really looking forward to. Hope, welcome as always to Native Roots Radio.
Well, thank you. I'm really happy to be here. It's just a joy to see people that are out there doing the work. And certainly Robert and Zoe, you both are at it. I'm really grateful for that. Yeah. I think that's a crucial thing in this time that we're in, that we work as a tribe, that we all support each other and lift each other up and work together.
Yes, well, we appreciate it, too. And it's been a diamond in the rough here to get Zoe to work with us at Native Roots Radio. As you know, I've worked with her father for the last few years on the store. And now Zoe's an artist in her own right and also a real big part of Native Roots Radio now. So we're really excited for this partnership. And it's exciting to see the young ones do step up. And I know you've had a lot of alumni over the years with Dream of the Wild Health that are out there in the community. And I think a lot of it starts with your help and what you got going on in Dream of the Wild Health.
I remember Zoe being just a little girl and being out there at Dream of Wild Health. So it's such a, I hope whatever we can do to lift up our young ones, whether they're little bitty young ones or, you know, younger than me, that we can support them and help them do whatever they have it in their heart to do. And they can see that We're in this together. We're doing this to help each other, to lift each other up. So yes, it's always a joy when I say, "Wow, that's awesome! That young one is so." And I know Zoe's no child anymore, but what a treat to see her growing up and doing this work.
Exactly. What do you have to say to that, Zoe?
Oh, miigwech, Hope. You are one of the first people in my life who taught me, you know, Ojibwe language. I remember being at Anishinaabe Academy way back, and you came in and taught us Waboos Naboob and such good stories. And so that always stays with me. I remember doing plant walks with you too, down by the Mississippi when I was like 6 years old. So, oh yeah. No, I love to see you still doing this work.
Wow. Oh, thank you. It's in my heart.
It definitely is. And there's a thing, Hope, that I always think of when I think of you is passion. And let's talk a little bit about not only what you do, but what Dream of Wild Health does, because we're all over, we're on 11 stations live and in the Twin Cities, and we have a big audience and a lot of people that support us, not only natives, but we have a lot of white allies out there. And so let's talk a little bit about what you do at Dream of Wild Health and what is Dream of Wild Health.
I'd like to start with a little bit of the history of Dream of Wild Health. There was a couple of Sally Ogier and her husband was John, and the two of them had started two shelters for Native folks. And of course, both of them were Native. And one of the shelters was the Thunderbird Nest. And that was a wonderful program for people, for Native women coming out of domestic abuse situations. And then they also had a program for Native men coming out of prison to adjusting to be out of prison. And John and Sally found that when they worked with Native people to get reintegrated, to start to feel better about being out in the world, that they had a garden. And when people had their hands in the soil and growing food and seeing the results of the food they were growing, there was this healing that started. And that really got Sally going. Another beautiful thing that happened with that was Sally was, after she started Dream Wild Health as a very small practice at first, just getting a little bit of a garden going, she was reached out to by a Potawatomi elder. So we were really fortunate. Cora Baker from over in Wisconsin had a beautiful big Native seed collection, and her relatives at the time weren't interested in growing out the seeds. So some of the seeds were sitting in jars or in little pieces of cloth or in coffee cans. So for the longest time, there were these beautiful seeds that were saved from different tribal communities. And so that seed collection was given from Cora Baker to Sally Ogier. So Sally, and then right after that, Diane Wilson, an amazing artist from our community, those two got together and they started working. They had a small farm south of the city's past Apple Valley by Farmington. And they started seeing, oh, look, there's such a need for good, healthy food and for our people to be out there. And right around that time, Ernie Whiteman came together with this group and they started looking at land, and they found the original 10 acres up in Hugo, Minnesota. So that's where they purchased the land at Hugo, and it just flowed. It wasn't like there was a lot of impediments, that they found like, hey, this is really working. And somewhere in there, I started to work. Sally wanted me to work. And I said, Sally, I don't know anything about farming. She said, no, we'll have the cultural parts and we'll have the wild plant parts. Because even in the languages, even in Ojibwe, you'll hear the Owensiag are the wild ones and the Owakanag are the domesticated ones, or it literally translates out into the enslaved ones. A lot of the people that I knew at the time, a lot of the elders, were from areas where there wasn't enough soil to raise corn, beans, and squash and some of the other traditional garden plants. So we started working with the youth, and our first farmer had a shovel, and she would ride her bike out there to Hugo. And then it just kept snowballing from there. And it's been quite a journey. So now we have, we bought an additional 20 acres and we're putting up a processing plant, because we keep getting to produce more and more food and we're restoring the soil. So now we're working on a capital campaign because we're building an incubator farm. So we have the total of 30 acres, And now we have setting up a system where people who are interested in learning how to be farmers can have everything at their fingertips to get started, to become farmers. So it's quite an interesting process. We still are working with the young ones, and we're trying to get the young ones from poor as kids, 8 years old, and keep them going into their teenage years where they can become interns. As soon as they turn 12, they can start earning to see what it's like to earn a little money to work in the system. And then they can become interns, and then they can become market workers, farmers, seed keepers. There's a whole range of different opportunities now. We always have an intern with our chefs and in the youth program as well. So we try to nurture them until they can do what they want to do. I mean, there's so many opportunities in the field of food. So we know food is medicine, and mm-hmm. food is, you have to have clean food, clean water, clean air. That's what all of us have to have. Same with the plants. They need the same thing we need. Same with the insects. All life needs that clean water, clean food, clean air. Now, for the plants, their food is the soil. So there's all kinds of information being found out about, like, the old stories were true. Our native folks knew you had to have that soil healthy or the plants weren't going to be able to come up.
Hey, we're here with Hope Flanagan, a community outreach and cultural teacher at Dream of Wild Health. We are really excited, and we'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Your Blue Line Extension Project wants to hear from you. We are working on extending the Blue Line Light Rail into North Minneapolis, Robbinsdale, Crystal, and Brooklyn Park, and connecting it to our growing transit system. Tell us about your neighborhood, your business, your family, and what you need from your Blue Line. Learn more and share more of your story at yourblueline.org. That's yourblueline.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Become this big powerhouse in... Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This segment of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are here with Hope Flanagan, and Zoe, I didn't realize you had such a long relationship with Hope. That is really awesome. I just see Hope in the community, outreaching, and I love talking to Hope, and She's a Gemini too. So, you know, we were talking, Hope and I were talking about, I was the evil twin and she's the good twin of the Gemini sign. So good to see you, Hope.
It's good to see you too, Robert.
Hey, let's get down to the brass tacks, Hope. What do you do for a dream of wild health? And maybe you can even talk about what you used to do, because you touched a little bit about that, that you started out and now that you've become this big powerhouse in Dream of Wild Health. What do you want to go from the beginning to where you're at now?
Sure. And when I first started at Dream of Wild Health, that was 15 years ago. I was working mostly with the youth, and we did not have people with farming experience on hand. It was a very small group of us. And we were looking at how do we get Native people to change their diet so they can get a healthier diet to, you know, like address some of the food issues that happened through the whole period of time where we didn't have access to our old lands, our old foods. So to try to get away from the commodity bodies that we had, where we weren't able to live in a way that supported our physical being. So I remember many years ago, we talk about, you know, young people don't always hear about the balance between what we're trying to seek. And it's a continuous thing, is to can try to find balance spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. So to kind of restore access to some of our food ways was our original idea. But it wasn't an easy thing, because when you come into an area and you say, oh gosh, you all haven't had access to some of our old foods in so long, how do we restore that connection with food? So for young people, that's what we started with. It was Ernie and I did a lot of work with how do we expose people to some of our old foods and get them to change their palate. And one of the things we found is when young people grow their own foods and when they cook with their own foods, when they prepare their own foods, that's where the change starts to happen. So either you start really young, which I did that this past week. Actually, it was a week and a half ago. Chef Derek and I went to Wechoye Nundigakanden, and those were 2 to 5-year-old students that in the Ojibwe immersion class. And we brought them smoked duck, cedar smoked duck, smoked salmon, and smoked salmon skin. So at that age, they're not like resistant to like, oh my gosh, that's not macaroni and cheese, or that's not fry bread, which some of those things that you might love them, but they might not be good for your body. So when we go with that, we're like, oh, check out this smoked duck. It's one of our old foods. It's delicious. And the 2 to 4-year-olds, they loved it. They were eating it up like, wow, this is amazing. So when we see these young ones and we're preparing them to, well, what do you want to do with your life? Do you want to be a chef? Do you want to be a farmer? Do you want to be somebody who works with teas? Maybe that's what your emphasis is. So there's so many directions you could go with food. So that's how we got started, was started small, and then we started an increase. And recently, the last 4 years, we hired Jessica Greendeer. She's from the Ho-Chunk community.
Oh,
I think you've heard of that tribe, Robert, right?
Yeah, exactly. They're the people of the groovy sacred voice.
Jessica is extremely knowledgeable about plants, and she did work with the Ho-Chunk tribe with their food systems, so as a farmer. So she's very knowledgeable. And since she came on board, we've really expanded our farm team. So last year, we grew 12.25 tons of food, and it went right back into the Native community. So there's several different avenues for the food to go back into the Native community. We have food shares, Indigenous food shares, and some of them are still available. So if any of you people out there are looking for accessing some of our food that we grow out at Dream Wild Health, it is available still. So how the IFS.
How does that work? Do I buy into a share and then get food? Is that how that works?
That's exactly how it works. And a lot of times we'll have people from different Native communities that will say, hey, we want to get our young people or our clients or whoever cooking and working mm-hmm. with clean foods that still have a high nutritional value to them. So they'll get a share or a half share, or sometimes different agencies might have quite a few shares. And then they'll work with teaching about preparing food. How do you prepare food on a limited budget? How do you prepare food that's highly nutritious? How maybe you want to be a high-end chef, you know? And I know last year we had three of our students that were working at Owamini, just wow. doing some of the higher-end chef work. So it's all across the board.
That's exciting. I just want to ask a quick question that you mentioned, young people's palate. And I know Wendy, my wife, is vegan. So my palate's changed over the last 12, 15 years. And how does somebody that's maybe used to eating macaroni, cheese, and fry bread and pizza change their palate? Is it just a practice, or how does that go about?
For me, what I've seen is over the years, I'd say, I'm not sure how many years, we have a nutritionist that's on staff at Drew Wild Health, Elena Norris. She's from Red Lake. And now she'll be joined with Vanessa, who's also Ho-Chunk. So she'll be working this year, too. But we also have guest chefs. And one of the things we always have to do is have vegan options. So for our young ones, they have breakfast there every day, every morning, and then they'll have a lunch that they help prepare. So they get to see, how do you prepare vegan foods? You know, like, how do you make it tasty? How do you explore flavors? This year, we just finished a cohort with the Indigenous Food Lab, where we're working on our cookbook committee, where our young ones are making a cookbook. We've done that in the past as well, where they experiment around, but now with the Indigenous Food Lab over at the Global Market, they could come in and test out their recipes and see, what do we like? How do you like it when you tweak it this way, or, you know, change it a bit? So we're always trying to get them to try different things, you know, like experiment with different flavors.
Do you have, you know, my real job is I'm a representative for Ho-Chunk Nation. Do you have, and do you have, watch what you pray for, hope you might get it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly. Hey, so do you have any kind of capacity to run bring somebody and walk them through what you guys do out there?
Well, we do. Actually, this week is our final week for signing young ones up for our Garden Warriors and Chorus Kids for the summer program. And we are filling up for our Friday volunteer day. So on Fridays, we'll get different agencies that come out that want to see, what is this? How do you do it? How do you get people engaged and involved? One of the things that has clearly been fascinating is all through COVID, we stayed open, because even though there's COVID, there's a need for food, you know, right. And there's a need for clean, healthy food. So that didn't disappear. So we found ways of keeping the kids safe, keeping the youth safe, the Garden Warriors, of course, kids, and making sure we just had hand washing stations, a lot of making sure that the food is food grade appropriate and ready for the public. So, yes, Volunteer Fridays, you would contact Anthony at dreamofwildhealth.org.
Wow. I think I might try and do that and get out to see my Ho-Chunk sisters at work, too.
Nice.
That's awesome. So we got like a couple more minutes here, and I just want to say how inspiring this is, and how you mentioned earlier, and I know we talk about this here on Native Roots Radio, is how food is medicine. And if we have that mindset, we won't be sneaking out to fast food, and we'll be taken care of just financially. I know Wendy and I eat out a lot, but when we cook our own food and vegetables here and mix it with some pasta, we just feel better.
That's the trick to it. I mean, if you notice that, and I would encourage people out there to do, give it a try. Like, you'll notice, like, to me, when I eat the way I know my body's designed to eat, Derek gave me some fish bone broth I'm going to get going on after we hang up here. So I'll be mixing that with some organic materials, like the summer squashes. And I'm loving working with eggplant nowadays. So
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
CBS News Brief. While Vice President Harris met in Nashville with those two now former Tennessee legislators, President Biden spoke with them by conference call, also including a third Democrat who demonstrated in support of stronger gun safety laws following the recent deadly mass shooting at nearby Covenant School. The president thanked them all for their help in seeking to ban assault weapons, invited all three to the White House. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas responds to news accounts from ProPublica of unreported gift trips, expensive once from a Republican donor that he considers a friend.
Legal experts say the disclosure rules were not clear, since the hospitality was paid for by a friend who had no cases before the court.
Correspondent Jan Crawford. The economy still creating new jobs, 236,000 last month.
Some steam is coming out of the job market, but it isn't falling out of bed. The unemployment rate edging down from 3.6 to 3.5%. That's just above January's historic low.
Mark Hamrick of Bankrate. CBS News Brief. I'm Tom Foti.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Jail guards in Wisconsin can now choose better pensions. Governor Evers signed a bill into law yesterday that counts jail guards among Wisconsin's protective occupation participants. Police officers, firefighters, and prison guards are already in that group. Jail guards in Wisconsin can now retire earlier and get disability for injuries on the job. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is pushing for more money in the state budget for the State Office of School Safety. Call wants a little more than $2 million. The Office of School Safety was created 5 years ago after the school shooting in Parkland, Florida. Federal money for the office runs out in December. In sports, the Brewers are winners of five of their first six games. They host St. Louis tonight. The Bucks welcome Memphis. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we're here with Hope Flanagan, and we're really excited to Hopes with Dream Wild Health. And Zoe, why don't you shoot out a question for one of your former mentor here? This is really kind of a welcome home kind of thing for you. It's really been fun to watch and listen to. So, Zoe, take it away.
Yeah. So, Hope, I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about what you all grow over at Dream of Wild Health and maybe like some of the ways you're growing it, because I'm sure you're using some maybe traditional practices or moving towards that. And I think that's just really incredible for people to hear about. So.
Well, thank you, Zoe. Thanks for that question. Weather is a moving target nowadays, and people forget that the plants and the soil and the insects and the birds, everybody is just as affected by weather as the humans are. So it's a target on the move. So I know in the past, you could have a little bit more assurance about like, well, what's your growing zone and what can you grow? But now you have to be more mindful about what are the water levels, what's going on with the insects, what's going on with the pollinators, because certainly climate change is affecting all those things. We noticed like in our area up at Hugo that there were some challenges with the winter squashes, because of insect imbalance with the different climate changes going on. But then you could see, right, as far as we can right now, we can switch over to another plant that really is thriving. So we could see that. And it's fascinating to see which one of the squashes can really thrive, say, for example, you know, from corn, beans, and squash. But it's all over the map. We have in the past, we've had a solanaceous area that's like tomatoes and tomatillas and peppers and all kinds of solanaceous kinds of plants. We have a herb area that's the different, like, I think we had at least four different kinds of basil, where we had all these different seasonings. So we also grow out, our front area is the rare seeds. But if I went from the back, the very far back is our pollinator meadow, because the honeybees are not doing well with the contaminated soils, contaminated pollens. So it's the native bees, big, strong native bees, that are out there doing the hard, heavy lifting. So it's been fascinating. We work with the Bee Lab and the Xerxes Society. We're working with them to see what can we do to keep our pollinators as healthy as earthly possible. I recently had a chance to speak with Heather Holm, and she's doing all sorts of work on what native insect is pollinating what native plant. And that was never defined before. So our back area is still all pollinator meadow to support native prairie plants and native pollinators. Then as you come forward, we have an orchard. We have a fruit orchard. Now, last year was tough because right where we live, where we have our farm in Hugo, it was flooded to the north and drought to the south. So depending on the fruit type, you know, say you're looking at elderberries that need a lot of water, or red willow, or, you know, that's Cornus cerisea, that they need a lot of water, you know. So you'd say, okay, but then there's other ones, like we have one buffalo berry that's doing well, but that's because it doesn't need as much water. So you're going to be looking at what can these plants do in that area. Our pollinator area is right adjacent to the orchard. And then we come into all of the plants that we grow for the community. So there'll be areas that switch out. One year we had 8 different kinds of purple potatoes. So we were looking at the nutritional level being higher, but which ones were best suited for our soil. We focus on no-till, because now we understand, humans are understanding, the less you till, the more those communities of biotics, the tiny microscopic organisms, they live in a community. And when you stir them up, they like to die. And now we're finding a lot of humans that have degraded systems because their digestive systems don't have the bacteria in there that they need to break down food. But also, if the soil is depleted, then the plants don't have what they need to produce the nutritional level that their ancestors produced. So that's that area there. Then you come closer and we've got our farm circle. I've got a little patch to the side where it's all wild and medicinal plants. I kind of left it go wild because I want to see who's going to show up with climate change and who can't handle it. So it makes sense to kind of be monitoring. I do that on a big scale too. Like I'm always out in the woods and I'm always seeing who's showing up and who can't handle the climate change, because we're definitely seeing that happening. So then at Dream of Wild Health, we've got our kitchen where everybody can come in if they're working. And in the past, we've always had our youth have some time working in the kitchen with the chef and the nutritionist. And then we have our cooking area, our eating area out front. And now we have across the road, we have the additional 20 acres. It's kitty corner from our 10 acres that I've been talking about, where we're putting in that food preparation and our food sustenance area to encourage farmers to continue to grow. I think the vision needs to be for all of us that food is crucial, mm-hmm. and our old food systems might not be able to take what climate change is dealing out.
Yeah. So wow, it's crazy. Hope, it's crazy. It's crazy because we had a drought last year, and especially up north, and how you talked about half your garden had too much water, and then the other half not enough. We're going to have tons and tons of water down the river here in the next 24 hours, 48 hours. Is that what climate change is giving us? A lot of water and then some years no water? Or is it just crazy?
It's even more than that, because we're not factoring in storms and wind and flash heat. I mean, that's another thing to consider. So humans are going to have to be thinking about, it's not, food isn't just political. It's being affected by, you can't just say, oh, this people, they're charging too much for their food. And of course, even the animals, like you say, well, the eggs are so expensive. Well, the bird flu is out there because of climate change. And we're seeing, well, the deer are sick. Well, yeah, the deer are sick because of climate change. So you're going to see this pattern. So people need to really understand, make your own garden, you know, mm-hmm. get in touch with people that are keeping a garden. Make sure that you have relatives. So we're looking at this rebuilding the support systems. You'll see it in Indian country for sure. We're thinking about, like, let's help each other out and make sure that there's food available. Even things like wild rice. Some of you all know probably that wild rice struggled this last year because of the temperature. But I noticed, and we did this, I know I did this last year, there was a subspecies that came up from the Prairie du Chien area and has made it into the Twin Cities and now is north of the Twin Cities. So I went to Shakopee and their land manager over there, Farron Davis Anderson. We took the Dakota folks out ricing for the first time in over 100 years. Wow. So they had rice, but other areas had none because of the climate fluctuations.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about at the fair, is that that you wouldn't tell me where this wild rice was in the Twin Cities. No. Oh.
Well, if you want to see it, go to the old Cedar Bridge across the Mississippi. So you'll see it. It's 13 feet tall.
Wow.
It's really tall. So you can't think of harvesting the old way you used to harvest. So it's different things you have to think about. If you really want to see it too, I mean, I'd love to see some political effort going into harvesting some of the rice that grows on either side of the Mississippi from La Crosse down to Prairie du Chien, because that's where there is quite a bit of rice. But that's helping the swans, the muskrats, the beavers. I even remember ricing with Dennis Jones's mom, and she goes, oh, this is a moose wallow because the moose are benefiting from the rice.
Wow. So, yeah. Wow, amazing. I'd learned so much when I talked to you, Hope. Hey, one of the things right now, Hope, just to change gears a little bit, It's a sugar bush season here, and talk to our audience a little bit about that process and what's been going on here in the Twin Cities and all over Turtle Island.
Oh, we're very, very fortunate. Last year was tough because, you know, the trees are dependent on the weather, too. And last year, the trees were tapped out there at Porky Sugar Bush. That's for a little porcupine. That fellow that ran that was from Leech Lake. Porky White started that, and it was with the Red Schoolhouse. That's right. So that's over 50 years, I think, that's been going on. And there's still people that worked it back then over there. So we're not young anymore. So thank you to Deb White and to Teddy Gray Owl and Jimmy, her brother. They're out there all the time getting that syrup. This year we're having a bumper crop. So what happened last year was there wasn't enough water. So the trees were waiting. We had it tapped for 3 weeks and nothing was coming up. Wow. And then the last 4 days there was sap. So, but it was only for 4 days out there. Wow. This year we've been harvesting for, it's going on quite a bit of time. It's over 4 weeks. So because of the snow and the fact that the trees held on to their, trees are going to hold on to their gift. Like just every living thing has a gift. And those trees held on to their sugars last year. They didn't really release them so they could survive. This year, we were able to make quite a bit of sugar, and they're still processing the syrup. So go out there this weekend and next weekend, too. They'll be out there processing the sugar and thanking the trees. You always start with a week home day where you thank the trees at the beginning before anybody tastes it. And then you thank the trees at the end after we get to enjoy the harvest.
Wow. That's amazing. And it's amazing that I noticed a lot of people have come out and visit Porky's and other sugar bushes to support. It's a festive time for us here. And I've even noticed, Hope, what's really funny, people in my neighborhood even are tapping trees, which is right on, you know, that I got to find the right tree for us. But hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're here with Hope Flanagan. We're going to end the show with Hope. This has just been really excellent. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Twin Cities, are you trying to move your side hustle to your main hustle? Having trouble leveling up your back office? Getting stuck on where and how to get money to grow your business? Then you don't want to miss Connect Up Summit Friday and Saturday, April 14th and 15th at Walder Foundation in St. Paul. Connect Up is a two-day summit offering hands-on workshops and connecting small businesses with each other, local investors, as well as local and national resources to grow your business. You'll get to meet more people in the small business ecosystem in 2 days than would take you 2 years to meet on your own. Connect Up sells out every year, so get your tickets today. Go to connectupmn.org. Follow us on Instagram and LinkedIn to get the latest updates. Again, that's Friday and Saturday, April 14th and 15th at the Walder Foundation in St. Paul. That's connectupmn.org. connectupmn.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hope didn't howl. I'm surprised.
Next time.
All right, cool. I'm a snapping turtle. That's my command. We howl very quietly.
Awesome. Hey, Zoe, why don't you take over here a little bit here? I know you got a couple questions that you'd love to ask Hope, and take it away, Zoe Allen.
Yeah, so kind of a two-part question. One, I'm wondering if you can give us, like, an Ojibwe word of the day for today. And then two, maybe we could talk a little bit about some other plants that are coming out right now for springtime. And I know you had mentioned in our emails about seagull egg picking, and I'm just really curious to hear about what that is.
Sure. Word of the day. I get asked to do prayers a lot at different agencies and different programs. And I try to always do prayers the way that I heard my elders do prayers. And the way you do that is you create a globe of intent. You talk about the four directions, the Mother Earth and the water world and the sky world. So in all those worlds, there's spirits, there's living beings. Your Niji Bimadizik, your fellow living beings that are just as alive as you are. So that insect, that blade of grass, everything is just as alive as you are, your Niji Bimadizik. So you're getting their attention because you're doing your thank yous. You're putting down your sema, your tobacco, because you're thanking all those living beings. We as humans, we're the last ones here. We're not the top of the heap. We're the bottom of the heap. And in our Adazukanog, in our legends, you'll hear, we are the very last ones here. And our elders, the insects, the trees, the plants, all of them look at us and go like, oh my gosh, they're cranky babies. So one of the legends that I love to tell that I heard both from Ona Kingbird, I also heard from, was told by some of the elders, other elders up at Panema, like Anna Gibbs. It talks about being the last ones here. We don't know how to thank and pay attention to our elders. So we get demanding and we want everything and we want it right now. And so we don't pay attention to the fact if we take all the trees, we don't breathe. We take all the plants, we don't have water. We kill all the insects, we don't have food. So as cranky babies, we have these giant egos. So one of the things I want to share is Nimigwichawainama. That means I am thankful for him or her. In Ojibwe, it's not so much about, is it a she or a he? It's about, is that being a living being or not a living being, an animate being or an inanimate being? So if I say, Nimigwichawainama, or you're saying, I am thankful for, and then you can fill in the blank, or you can put it in the front. You can say, Mani Dunsug, Nimigwichawainamag. That would mean, I am thankful for the insects, you know, because without them, we don't live, you know, or Mitigug, Nimigwichawainamag. The trees, I'm thankful for the trees. So always being mindful that we're giving our tobacco as offerings before we pick anything, when you start your day. We know that you flourish more. Maybe this sounds selfish, but it's true. When you put out your thank yous and you remember to be grateful, you're going to be happier. Yep. So every day, start with your tobacco. I start with my sema. And when I say tobacco, I'm always working with the inner bark of the red willow. You know, Misquabimish or Chinchasha. So that is for, you know, you're being thankful. And your work in making that red willow is the currency of the spirit, because they see you mean it. It comes from your heart. It comes from your hands. It comes from your body. You're taking your time and your love and your energy to honor those beings.
Wow. Hope, we don't have a front yard here anymore in St. Paul. We have we redid it where we have plants coming up, yearly plants, and it's. But we also talk about No Mo May here in the Twin Cities and all over Turtle Island, and you're hitting on that, and you've been hitting on that the whole show, and I just want to throw that out there, that how important it is for us as maybe inner city people to remember No Mo May, and all our little bees are doing their thing, and we don't want to rake them up. And you talked about the farms where the grading isn't happening now because of the what we're doing to our other relatives, the insects.
Yep. And right now, when you think about it, a lot of our native pollinators overwinter in those brittle brown stalks, those hollow stalks. So when you look at, say, anything in the goldenrod family, it's probably insects overwintering in there. So our native pollinators need to have space to live through the winter. If they're in there, or they're in that leaf litter, or they're down below in the first few layers of soil, you just got to respect them, because they're making it through the winter just like us. I've already started my spring plant walks. This past weekend was my first plant walk, which the snow is up to my knees, but we were doing a plant walk. And right now, it's always picking season. So the last few weeks, I've been picking nettle stalks. That's the woodland nettle. Muzanatig is one way to say that in Ojibwe. It's talking about how it's prickery, but if you pick it now, you can process it for making fish nets. That elder named Ignatia Broker, she was the one who showed me that many, 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 many years ago. So that's ready. I think I picked 200 of them recently. They just look like a little stick sticking out of the ground. The balsam poplar buds are ready. The cottonwood buds are ready for making salves. Down by the river, the garlic mustard, which is an invasive species, is great for making pesto. I had an intern that collected it. And people say, I want to get rid of my garlic mustard. Turn it into food. I had an intern that picked it and sold it to Alma Restaurant because they wanted to use it for making pesto. So try to think about how can we turn this challenge into a benefit. So,
about that. Zoe, we got less than 2 minutes here. Any final thoughts? Any final questions for Hope?
Oh, I was wondering if you could just share just like a small like explanation of seagull picking, and then if you can just say the Ojibwe word of the day one more time for us.
Sure. We're coming up on the time where the seagulls are going to be laying their eggs. The herring gulls up north, this is way up north, and into Canada, you'll see those little islands that are rocky and maybe have one little pitiful tree on there. Maybe not. Maybe they don't even have that. Some people call those ghost islands, and those are nesting sites for herring gulls. And you'll see a cluster of eggs, and usually it'll be like four. They're about a little bit larger than a duck egg. They're greenish blue with brown spots on them. They're really beautiful. But if you think about them like you do with a chicken egg, if you take one, the gull's going to lay another one. So, you know, that's how it works with chickens. So at this time of year, this was a big, wonderful experience that people would go out to those islands and look for the herring gull colonies and pick those eggs. And they're delicious. They have a slightly different flavor. That's one of the things we look to at Dream Wild Health too, is like, okay, let's try some of these wild foods and introduce some of these foods to people who've never tried them. So, wow, what could you do with that slightly different flavor? So,
and what's the word of the day before we let you go?
Nimigwichawanama. I am thankful for, and then fill in the blank ahead of that word or after that word. So maybe you want to say, I'm thankful for Zoe. Nimigwichawanama, Zoe.
All right.
Nimigwich.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Milwaukee. You have to check out Mobcraft Beer, the world's first crowdsourced brewery where they turn your ideas into beer. Stop in their downtown tap room to try flagships, seasonals, limited release crowdsourced brews that you won't find anywhere else, and more. Mobcraft also has a pizza kitchen making craft pies with the freshest ingredients. And enjoy their amazing tap room featuring over 20 constantly rotating draft lines, indoor and outdoor seating on their dog-friendly patio, and a killer view of the Milwaukee skyline. Mobcraft Beer, located in the heart of Walker's Point in Milwaukee. For more info, head to mobcraftbeer.com.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.